go through guests first. Commissioner Bolt's here today, I see. Glenn, you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, I'm Glenn Lamb, Executive Director of Columbia Land Trust, and also with Columbia Land Trust is Alice Williamson.
Hi.
What was this? Do you want to?
My name's Alice. Last name Williamson.
Thank you.
Did you want to speak today?
I'm good.
Okay. All right, so this is our period of time to have public speaking. Glenn, you wanted to speak, so we'll let you get started.
If you all turn around in your chairs.
Well, remember, we have one gentleman on the chair there that's in Skype, so.
So he probably, Kelly, can you hear me? Well, I thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak. I missed your last meeting. Also, I missed the county council work session related to conservation futures. And I had worked as parks planner for Clark County Parks and Vancouver Clark Parks for 10 years before I did work with Columbia Land Trust. And so I've been working on parks and conservation here in Clark County for 29 years now. And the decision about recommending funding for the conservation futures package before you is one of the most important decisions in my entire 29 years of doing conservation work here. And so I especially wanted to be here to tell you how important that is, I think, for future generations, just a really critically important decision. Conservation Futures is our primary local land acquisition project for conservation lands. And there are state and federal funding sources available to match that, and historically we've matched it almost dollar for dollar. And the thing is, if we don't have the local funding source that's doing these projects, then we can't access those state funds, and those state funds will go to all the other counties in the state that do have those funding programs. So keeping this local funding source and approving this package of projects is what keeps us in the game for the state and federal monies that are available. So it's very highly leveraged. The lands are available now. The interest rates are low now. If you did the chart that shows interest rates and the increase in property values, we're saving a lot of money by buying these lands now compared to waiting till later. And of course, if we wait till later, chances are many of these lands will no longer be available for the kind of conservation and open space purposes that we're seeking. And my last comment, I think, is that I don't know if any of you, is the hazard of having done this for several decades, is that I remember things from way back. But when we first started this program was approved in the mid-80s. And pretty quickly, the county commission at the time appointed an open space commission. And the purpose of this open space commission was to identify what are all the benefits that are coming from open space and conservation in the county. And that group produced an open space commission report, and it defined the multiple benefits that this county gets, and all places do, from open space. And it's parks and recreation, but it's also clean air and clean water. It's working lands, forestry lands, farmlands. It's the breadth of benefits, a very wide range that comes from that. And the Conservation Futures Program is designed to provide that breadth of benefits. So this is not just the parks program. This is something that's really designed to support all those range of benefits. And if you look back over the history of the program, Conservation Futures has done Frenchman's Bar and a lot of other really iconic park places, but it's also done places like miles and miles along the East Fork of the Lewis River that are now preserved as one of the most amazing greenways. And I just wanted to emphasize that it's the entire package of these projects. We've gone to great lengths in developing these projects to have them come from the diversity of the cities and towns, but also to include forestry projects and farm projects, and that's directly a response to the county's adopted plan that says we need to provide for this multiple benefits that come with that. I want to add that some of the working lands ones, and the councilor, I think, has been right in the crosshairs of a lot of the debates about land use planning and urban and rural land use, and people wanting to protect our forestry lands. And the projects that we put in place for the forestry projects actually keep the land on the tax rolls. All that land stays on the tax rolls, and yet it also stays in forestry as a productive use. And those directly respond to some of the big land use challenges that the county's faced with as well. So we're getting the benefits of that forestry land and yet keeping on the tax rolls and keeping it that way. So we've thought long and hard about these projects, and I just really urge you to approve the full range of the projects because of the benefits they provide and that we have this unique opportunity to get in front of us. I'm going to stick around, so as you get to that topic, if you have other questions for me.
Yes, we do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on. Roll call and guest introductions. Councilor Bolt, do you want to say a few words?
No, I'm just here to observe, so thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. All right, adoption of the meeting minutes, last July's meeting minutes. Anybody read through them? Like to make a motion, maybe?
I will move to approve.
All right. Any seconds, maybe?
Second.
Okay. It wasn't here, but I'll second it anyway. If John says
all right. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Those of you that haven't read it and just caught up or something. All right. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right. Moving on to unfinished business. Bill, you want to update us on the youth member update?
Sure. I've actually made a little bit of progress on the youth members, and that I reached out to the top two that we chose. And the one thing that I'm having a hard time with is we had four applicants altogether, youth members for the Parks Advisory Board. And quite honestly, I'd like to have all four of them. You know, I don't think that all of them will be here at any given time, but I just wanted to see what your thoughts were. I know that we decided on two youth members, which means we've already chosen the two. I've reached out to the two top ones. And if we decide that if you are okay with us having two more youth members, then I will contact the other two as well and let them know that we'd like to see them at our next meeting in September. But so it's more of an appeal on staff's part than anything else. But I just wanted to bounce that off of you and see what your thoughts might be on that.
We decided they are not voting members.
That's correct. They're ex officio.
So there's no harm in having more people here outside of the conversation goes a little longer.
Yeah, they're all young scholars, and they're very motivated. And you can tell just from the two that I've contacted that they are highly ambitious and want to be here with us. And so I just wanted to see what your thoughts might be.
I think I might have a little apprehension about that, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
I think one of the key aspects that we as a group need to look at is that we have made a commitment to whichever ones are selected, that they're not just here on face value, but that we will work with and mentor them.
Okay.
To do that adequately, that takes a commitment and time on the other members here.
Yes.
I believe that if there were four of them, since there are only seven of us, it might be that we would shortchange the ones that were selected. That's my only concern. Obviously, you know I'm the strong voice for adding these. But I think that it's also critical that we look at quality as well as quantity. And that being said, I've already said that I would work with one of them to mentor, but we still need another volunteer just for the two that we have selected.
Okay.
So my concern would be is, do we want to bring them here? Because they're always welcome to come and sit in the gallery.
Yes.
And observe and be engaged. It's also our job to listen to anything they have to say anyway, right? So that's it.
Okay.
I want to see that the ones that we bring on board really are brought along and mentored adequately.
Okay.
I think young voices are kind of a rarity in today's world, getting involved in public organizations. I know there's a lot of youth organizations, but if there's four students who want to step forward, I think we should reach out to them. It may be a case where all four are here, maybe a case where someone would come periodically. You know, we don't know what that will be. And we don't know really what the workload for mentoring will be as they come along. But we've got some things going on in our program that we can reach out to these children for. For instance, the PAB logo. Now, these kids can help us do little things like this, reach out to their schools, reach out for volunteers, reach out for opportunities to participate. And we get a good cross-county voice of what students and the younger generation feel and think about parks. I think it would be worthwhile to have.
Would it make sense to have two appointees and two alternates?
Yeah.
And just invite the alternates to send
I could notify them and tell them that they are alternates.
We could also extend an invitation to activate within one of our subcommittees.
Also try that.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
They would be a great match because a lot of the activities that are involving the youth are coming out of the marketing partnership team.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Kelsey, you got thoughts?
I'm kind of with Kevin in the fact that if there are youth interested in this, I kind of lean towards encouraging that. I get your concerns about the time commitment and the mentorship, but if I would be willing to be a mentor too,
so that's
and then
two.
Maybe we could just split them two and two, and that.
Well, if it helps ease Barbara's thinking, I can also be a mentor.
Yeah, so if we
that would be wonderful. That's three.
If Kevin,
I'm new, but I can certainly be involved in that as well.
Oh, great. Well, then there's one for each student.
If you've got four.
Yeah. I just don't want to discourage people who are interested in this because they could become adults and take our places one day permanently.
That's the whole idea.
Yeah, so I think we should encourage them.
Laura, the only question I have, logistically, four names, is that too much or not enough, or
it's all good.
It's all good. Maybe you're not in frame of mind today.
It's all good. She's getting married.
Everything's looking golden to her right
now. Yeah, so everything's all good today. So I had to
give her a couple years.
I love the youth, and it'd be great to have them involved, especially if we can connect them to some of our youth volunteer activities. I mean,
okay.
There's a lot of wonderful things they could be connected with and have a voice in.
I just don't want to overburden your staff.
And of course, I would bring them in prior to the next Parks Advisory Board meeting to give them a full orientation, give them their books about parks so that they get a head start before they come to our next meeting. So.
And I'm guessing we'll start with four, but we won't end with four.
That's my thought. I'm thinking that if we have four, we might see two at a time, maybe sometimes three, that kind of thing. That's my guess. But I believe there was a motion on your part to allow the two, so that the motion might have to be redone.
Amended.
Okay. So, but something to think about. So, but thank you. I appreciate the consideration.
Why don't we move? I will move to amend the youth advisory group to four rather than two.
Second. All right, so it's been moved and seconded to expand the youth group to four representatives. Any further discussion? Kelly, you have any thoughts?
I think four is fine. That makes a team of them.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Those abstaining? All right. Sounds like we have four new youth members.
Cool.
Wow. Right. Well, thank you.
We're meeting them next week.
That's going to be exciting.
Yes, it will. PIF update. Any updates?
Well, yeah. The money keeps rolling in, which I'm really happy to see. Down, if you look at the combined fund, that's where all the activity is happening. The upper accounts, the only thing that they earn is interest in the accounts. And so you do see some subtle changes there, unless we go buy something. So PIF 5 in this last month between... what about June?
This is June 30, it says.
It should be July. Or is this the June?
I ran the wrong one.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Jeremy can bring it up on the screen.
The one you have.
The July.
Yeah, let's see if I tuck the right one in there. Yay!
Whoa.
Here it is.
I can't see that.
You're on top of it. You're on top.
Please. I got to get closer so I can let you see.
Good teamwork. Thank you.
So we've had some pretty good activity in this last month. Fit 5, we brought in $95,000.
6, 114,000, 96 year, 115,000. Fifth 7, 36,700. Fifth 8, 137,665. Fifth 9, 56,214. And then fifth 10 at 19,243. This fifth 10 is kind of a slow performer. Last year we didn't bring any money in at all. This year we brought in so far today 56,835. You get some more homes built up in that area.
But we don't have much land left.
I know. So it's for the most part, we're seeing a lot of growth on a monthly basis. So it's allowing us to start really looking forward to getting more development projects moving in the near future. And as we've talked about, we've got Otto Brown starting up this fall. And so we've got Otto Brown, and we've got actually room left for other projects on top of it. So in addition, we've got Curtin Springs, that is our next community park to be built. And with a $2.154 million in that account, we can actually start looking at design and permitting this fall with the intent of actually moving forward in the 2018, 2019 year on that. We're probably going to be going after a grant on that. And then also in PIF 9, looking at Cougar Creek Woods as a community park and going after a grant on that one as well. So I'm really pleased to see that the funds are coming in at a good pace, and it's going to allow us to start looking at some serious development projects. So that's it with PIF.
All right. Lewis and Clark Trail update.
Okay, a very slight one.
That's all right.
So, what we've been trying to do is book a site for the charrette that's going to occur on November 18th, which is a Saturday. Okay. And we tried
November
to.
18th?
What's that?
November 18th.
November 18th. It's a. And we tried to reserve Warehouse 23. However, that convention center is booked for that particular time. So we're going to reach out and try to book the Red Cross Hall down on Officers Row. It's a pretty substantial building that can house up to probably a couple hundred people pretty easily. And I think we can probably get that for free. And then we have to figure out what kind of catering we want to do and if we can get that delivered for free as well. So Diana Kretschmar with the Parks Foundation is going to give us a hand in trying to get the food there for us. And so looking forward to trying to pull this whole charrette off for the Lewis and Clark Trail at no cost. So that's our intent. So that's as far as we've gotten so far. Kelsey, do you have anything?
Kevin and I are kind of in the beginning stages of working on a pseudo presentation in the veins of the ones you've been doing to go around. It was Kevin's idea actually to go to the other PABs, like Ridgefield's PAB, Battlegrounds PAB, to talk to them about making a statement of support, either what we adopted here last meeting or one that they want to verbalize themselves. But somehow the PABs saying that they're in support of the trail, and then someone from their PAB going to their city council to get their city council to voice publicly their support for the trail. So I'll be coming to speak in front of our county council to try to get you guys to do some sort of declaration that you're in support of the Lewis and Clark Greenway. And it's kind of where we're at now. We're kind of in the beginning stages. Our goal is sort of late September
hopefully we'll
to have all gone to all the different PABs and made contact with them. So, and I think we were going to try to hit up the ports as well.
Yeah,
to a port meeting.
Well, maybe John could do that, I think.
Yeah. I can hit up ports.
Yeah.
He's
got to be a natural fit.
Yeah. Since they're a key player.
I volunteer you.
So, were you able to connect with this, with the city and
yes.
getting their support? Did we
yes,
get
I
maybe
was.
A connection there?
Yeah, I did.
So we just want.
And I had a meeting last week, and then I've got a meeting with their transportation and community development that I need to schedule and get going, because they are actually working on segments of the trail along the Old Evergreen Highway that I did not know about, which is great. I knew of some segments, but they're actually working on others, and there's a strong push towards the eastern side, 164th to 192nd area. The Old Evergreen Highway is being used as kind of a secondary route to Highway 14 because of the density and the traffic. And so I think the residents in that area are starting to look more for a trail along that alignment. So I'm all ears. And there are some other places that we need to reach out and try to get as many players to this charrette as possible. We want to be all-inclusive because each and every jurisdiction has their strengths and what they know about these segments. And so we want to bring that to the table for this big charrette. So it's I do think that we have a meeting coming up in September with some of the senators and the representatives that couldn't make the last meeting. So Diana Kretschmar is setting that up. So I'm looking forward to presenting this project to them so we get a lot of support from Olympia. So.
Kelsey, if you need an appointment with the city, they meet on the 16th at 3 o'clock, and there is an open public comment section with the city PAB.
Yeah, that was going to be our sort of goal, is go to all the PABs, open public comment.
Great.
So,
great.
Yeah.
So maybe a time saver for you is I'm chatting with Chris now about the city during the all-PAB meeting.
Oh, great.
This might be a great presentation
at
the all-city. He's looking at either a September or October time frame, though.
That's
so
okay.
If it's October, it might be too late, but that would...
That's kind of an
because
arbitrary
Because I know how difficult it was for me to get on all the different PABs for the first all-PAB one.
Yeah.
So I'm just thinking that would be everybody at one time.
I think that's a brilliant idea. And
I'll
this is kind of the time like we made up on our own. So if I would love to put, you know, push it back and kill all the birds with one stone there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's great, Barbara. Yeah. Great.
Okay. Wonderful.
Hey, Bill.
Yes.
The county's going to make our legislative requests early this year. So just to let you know, to get it in like September. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Parks tour update. Who wants to handle that one?
I can start it real quickly. We do have actually have a slideshow on this particular one.
Nice.
And so on our last tour was out at Camp Bonneville. And I thank you for all the members who came along. We actually had... a person from the Parks Foundation attend with us, as well as the PRAC, or Parks and Recreation Advisory Commission, which I was really pleased to see that we're getting a lot of folks to jumping in from different areas. So,
was Sybil? Did she make it?
Oh yeah, she
All
was
right.
there. Yeah, and that's
now just, she moved to the county. So
this is her second tour
another.
With us now. So
oh, good.
She's been in both band tours this year so far.
I love
so.
It.
So here's we just kind of took some photos as we went around Camp Bonneville. Pretty exciting. So go ahead, Jeremy, just kind of cruise on through. Are these pictures?
Slide two.
Slide two, okay. So Camp Bonneville is located in the foothills of the Cascade Mountains, about 7 miles north of Columbia River. Established in 1909 as a drill field and rifle range for Vancouver Barracks, and was used primarily as a training camp for various branches of the military for 85 years. The property is largely undeveloped. More than half of its six square miles is forested. So I believe from what Jerry Barnett told me, we have 46 miles of trails throughout the camp, which is really impressive on that 4,000 acre piece. Next one. And so here's where we met in the parking lot. And we went inside one of the barracks compounds. That's kind of the training room that they've got out there. And so they have a display of all the ordnance, the different types of ordnance that they've been collecting over the years. And so Jerry Barnett and Greg Johnson provided us a lot of history, which was wonderful. It's another one of us. And that's Greg Johnson speaking. And here's the tour. So just beautiful open vistas of trees and open fields and forests. It's wonderful. We've got Lacamas Creek that runs through it.
Headwaters.
This is the FBI firing range that is existing out there on site right now. Just cruise on through, Jeremy. Okay, so this is Camp Bonneville, the original camp. It's a pond. And so we actually walked inside a couple of these buildings, which was unique. So I think Greg Johnson said that a couple of these buildings that we walked into have not been entered for the last 20 years. So it seemed interesting to walk through. So we walked into the kitchen, which is this one right here. keep going a little farther. Here's the inside of the kitchen. And it's not in great shape by any means. Some of the stainless steel infrastructure for the kitchen is still in there. But the roofs are peeling down. Good, as you can see. We spotted that through a window. It's an old checker Chinese chessboard. Yeah. Neat old fireplace. So here's one of the bunkhouses. And there's kind of a do's and don'ts label up on the wall. It said 1963. So I would imagine that might have been the last time that bunkhouse was used. Mm. Right there.
That's great.
That's the caretaker facility.
And what a place that was.
It was beautiful. We drove all the way up to the impact area where people will not ever be allowed to go into. But we took quite a tour around that site, and I think we spent an extra hour longer than what we had anticipated. It's a big site. And so I hope that the folks that did attend got a good idea of what the camp looks like. So there's two barracks out there, basically. You got Camp Kilpak, which is the newer one, and then Camp Bonneville, which is the older one that we walked through.
You don't get it from the slideshow or pictures. One of the things that's really cool about it is it's surrounded on three sides by hills, so you feel like you're kind of in a huge canyon.
Yeah,
and
you're surrounded by hills.
Gorgeous space. Yeah.
And so, talking to Jerry, he pretty much indicated that the valley floor is at 99.9 or close percent completed, and so we could actually start doing master planning on the site. The only ordinance left to clean up is within the impact zone, which will be closed off to public. So he thinks that we can start moving on planning and not get in the way of the remaining ordinance cleanup that's going to occur out there over the next 3 or 4 years. So the area that we'll be planning, of course, is around the outside of the impact zone. So we should be good to go. So that's kind of the plan. Any other comments on Camp Bonneville? So I guess what we need to decide as a group is where our next tour would be.
And that's scheduled for the 18th.
Yeah, next week, essentially. And so we've, kind of the idea was we'd have like a van tour, and then we'd go out to a park site, go look around, and then maybe just alternate van tours. So at some point in time, we had talked about going out and taking a look at some of these conservation futures projects that you guys worked so hard to score this last meeting. And so that might be a possibility for a future van tour for all of you. But I wasn't sure if you were interested in going out to a particular park site next Friday to just take a look around and learn a little bit more about it.
So I'd be all for another van tour too. I'm just checking my calendar.
I'll be traveling that week.
Yeah, so
I'm traveling that day too.
So are you?
Yeah.
So it might not be the best day to
maybe
do
it. Maybe not the best day
as well.
How about a show of hands of who's going to be available next Friday?
Yeah, let's start with that question.
We might have to skip.
I think that answers that.
Well, that takes care of that because I'm flexible. But I would really enjoy seeing some of the conservation future areas that we discussed at our last meeting.
You think
some of them I've actually been to. Like with the Pearson property when it was in jeopardy earlier this year. But some of those others were not familiar, so that would be real exciting to me.
Okay. Do you want to try for a September tour?
Yeah, before the rain start.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a break. It doesn't look like any of us are available.
Right.
We're all trying to get around.
Are you going for the aquarium?
Vacations, yeah.
Got it.
That's what I was thinking.
It's always on the Friday following
our
Baptist.
We're not leaving until Saturday.
So Friday, September 15th.
So it'll be the third Friday of September.
September 15th. September 15th
will
be the next one.
Yep. And we'll make that a van tour to go look at our conservation futures properties.
Well, I may not be here then.
Am I the only one that would really?
I would. Too. Okay. I would like to see the properties and see what we suggested. If Don's available, I mean, you need to see if
Don's
available or.
Yeah, you may or not be available, Pat. But.
I think I've scheduled vacation that week. So.
Okay. Right.
Oh.
Well,
we can maybe slide it a week.
We could. We could go to the fourth week, the last week. Are you back by then?
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone that week.
It would be good to have Pat along.
So yeah, you think? That would be good.
Really good.
All right. Let's try to shoot for the fourth week then.
What date is that?
So, right. Yeah.
22nd.
22nd, okay.
That's out far enough. I'm still pretty.
I got my high school reunion.
Counselor Bolt, if you want to come along too, you're certainly welcome to.
Okay. So. Yeah, they're fine.
Okay, so we've got our future van trip identified. Drones?
I did not hear back from Steve Perry. Okay. I left him a message and did not hear, and I don't see him here yet. And so I think we'll have to skip over that. He was planning on doing a PowerPoint presentation on the SUAS and drones, and he must not be ready. So I did not hear back.
I thought it was interesting, and I wish I brought it with me. Sun River actually has recently implemented legislation to control drones in the spaces.
Okay.
I'll try to dig that out.
Wow.
And shoot it out to everybody.
San Juan County has also developed regulations limiting, they've actually developed a permit system.
Yes.
For their parks for drones, and I guess the state of Washington too. So if you could send that stuff to me,
I will bring around
it, or send it to Bill and we'll report it to me. So I'm trying to pull all those together so we can take a look at as far as drones and
it was in their paper when we were there. And so it was gave a lot of really good information and references to some other places that, and some of the logic that went behind it. I thought it was great.
Cool. That's what I like to see, the logic behind it.
And balancing people's rights with personal space is always hard.
Oh, yeah.
We know that we're gonna have to change our county code to address the drones. That will be forthcoming. So we'll see if we can set this up for the next meeting.
Okay. Pat Loco. Barbara?
All righty. Okay, so we're back. Team's back on this, right? Pulled it out and dusted it off. I provided you a copy of the guidelines and rules that we set up and went over last year. I changed the date because obviously the date slid by. I've also initiated an outreach to Crystal at the Vancouver School of the Arts, and she thinks that this would be a really good project. But in looking at, not wanting to keep it just to the School of the Arts, although that is where a lot of talented kids are, went out and I looked and I was surprised, based on our last discussion, I pulled up on the web all of the Clark County school districts, and I was surprised how many there are. So there's Evergreen, Green Mountain, Hawkinson, Battleground, Camas, La Center, Ridgefield, Vancouver, and Washougal.
And there's a lot of private schools in there too.
Yeah, so I guess, how big is the breadbasket, folks? How much of an outreach do we want to make? And I thought I'd bring that question back to the larger group, because there's thoughts both ways. Being from one of the school districts,
What would their harm be in putting it as a contest on the county's website? And
love
if
it.
We can make contact with certain schools and districts that we have connections to point them in that direction to help facilitate that, that would be great too, but then it wouldn't be exclusive to one district or one school.
Inclusive.
Yes. I'd like to.
I like that.
Inclusive would be great.
How do you feel about that?
That'd be good. Yeah.
It would be something you would be supportive of and initiate. So we could do a cover letter for you.
Oh, yeah.
Marvelous.
I like how
all right.
Barbara
so, hey, I'm direct. I want to get it done. So,
yeah.
The youth members that we're bringing on, or should we involve
them? They can help in socializing it within their own schools.
Right, and that's what I'm thinking, because we're
absolutely
trying to reach out to a broad band of age groups.
It's getting the message out there. So along those same lines, we have our Parks for Clark County at Gmail account that we've used for our all PAB stuff. But I was thinking, or we were thinking, would be nice if we had a county email to use for submissions. Is there an ability to set up a PAB at clarkcounty.gov?
I think so. Menda, what do you think about that? Is it an email? Yeah, it's just a matter of getting it set up, right?
Is there any concern with doing that? It would give us our document retention that we need.
Yeah, and we just need to pick a staff person, whether it's Laura or someone else in Parks, who just has access, you know, the password and the access to it, so that.
And then you could forward it on to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be an action item that you could take, Bill, to get done in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we could look into that, sure.
Laura getting married, that might be a little slowdown.
Well, I am taking a whole day off.
A whole day?
When Laura leaves, the rest of us do too.
I love it. Great.
So are you taking a honeymoon? Or are we expecting the staff to take off next week? Or
no, just taking Monday off, and then we're just not trying to plan everything all at the same time, and that'll be our 1 year anniversary.
Okay. So does this come to all the schools then?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we just decided that we were going to do all of them.
Is it going to, like you said, the private, if you go to all the schools, you better go to the private schools.
Well, I was thinking,
I don't know if them phone calls.
I don't have a list of them. Does Holly have a list of those private ones?
We'll get them for you. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, because I thought a direct mailing, but also I would go to the
Columbia. I'll get calls from the Catholics. I know I will.
All right. Because this is the only list I could find.
Well, yeah, we have.
So if you've got them, because I did chat with Holly about another thing.
Yeah, we'll do.
So
that's fine.
So I slipped the date for submission to December 31st. I know it's a ways out, but we really need to give some time for the message to get out and for them to work on it. Was there anything that I forgot? No. Okay. Hopefully everything in here. Let's see.
Hold on.
I didn't hear.
He wants to make sure that we're wrapping the youth into this whole process.
Yes. Yes. That's what I was saying, is that we would connect with them and get them to socialize within their own schools. You know, because that enthusiasm that comes from one is contagious. As far as the gifts, I talked with the several high schoolers, and they seem, I know this sounds silly, but they were saying that gift cards for coffee or pizzas is their favorite. And so, Milana, were you able to connect with your group yet?
Yes, we were, and we're very much in support. The whole board is in support.
So they're going to let us use their 501c3 to solicit the donations. We will also have a plaque, and I spoke with Holly, and we're going to talk with Lena about getting on your schedule for a February presentation.
Oh, cool.
Okay, of the plaque.
Yeah, and also if there are no donations forthcoming, we'll open it about $100 set aside for buying.
I'm sure we can get the community to back us on this, though. It's a good idea.
Right. Kelly had a comment. Kelly?
Oh, I just
wanted
to move the camera over
a
little so I
can
see that
inside
the room.
I'm sorry. I didn't hear.
He's moving the camera.
It's hard to get everybody.
Yeah, she don't want to
move the camera.
Oh. Want to see my beautiful face?
You think
face?
My face is not in there.
Thank you. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So that's where we're at with the logo.
Barbara, I have one question with the youth members. Schools, private schools, and homeschooled students as well?
Yeah, we're going to try to reach out.
All youth.
So like with Elizabeth. Elizabeth Hill is a great contact for us to reach into that homeschool community.
Perfect.
Yeah, just to any art student.
Barbara, I have a question too.
All students are art students.
Oh, well, when we discussed this the last time, we said art students. Do we want to take that word out?
No, I was just saying that I would contend that all students are art students.
In some form.
In some form, yes.
Yeah.
I got a question, too.
You've seen me.
it says that we will be judging them, the PAB will judge them.
is there criteria in here that I'm not seeing that we will be judging
upon?
We
need to figure out our own criteria. When we discussed this the last time, Jennifer did a little workshop for us on how what was important to us so that we could put together the criteria for the creation.
Okay.
But as far as how we're going to judge that, we'll have to figure that out.
I would suggest that criteria be in this rules and announcements so they know what they're being judged upon as they go into
Well, that's what we've done here.
Well, where is, I just don't see it. Then would you show me where that's
at? Sure. It needs to graphically reflect our PAB mission, vision, and goals.
Okay.
Let's see. It says, consider that the PAB advocates for not only parks, but also trails, sports fields, and open spaces. We suggested graphics might be evergreen, trees, trails, picnic table, park.
Okay.
We're looking for a creative interpretation to reflect the Clark County PAB. It needs to be simple in design while effectively branding our organization as a Parks Advisory Board. It needs to contain either the text PAB or CC PAB. It should be compatible with the Clark County logo. The logo may be used in conjunction with the Clark County logo at times. The contest logo is not limited to the color scheme of the existing logo, though. And I think as you go through it, you know, there are some other hints that we've given them. But as far as the criteria that I'm going to look at it and make sure it's got the right coloration, that it's got a picnic table, I think somebody says it really wanted a picnic table there, or that it's got a tree, you know, that criteria is kind of, it's the aesthetic of it. When you see it, you know it. What verbiage can you put to that? And I don't want to limit us to, these are what we're going to judge by, 3 points for color and 5 points
yeah,
for...
Yeah, no, I understand. I get that.
So,
I'd just like to maybe suggest that just since I had a problem pulling that out of here,
sure.
Maybe we could clarify that for the students that this will be the criteria that will be looked at or some
Well, how would you, okay, how would you clarify it, Kevin? Because under this, have you gone through it and read it through the submission guidelines? It goes through and it tells them that it needs to be scalable vector graphics in EPS format, also in a JPEG form. It goes, I mean, we've given so much detail here. I don't want to get down to the minutia that we forget that what we're looking for is creativity.
I totally support that. I'm just saying, you know, if I was an 18 or 17-year-old student and I was reading 4 pages on criteria,
okay.
I could get lost in
okay.
in this document. So I'm just trying to find out a way where we can clarify to those students what's okay. the meat of what we want from them.
So, okay, then how about you and I take it offline? And I'm happy to make revisions to this to bring clarity.
Okay.
Because we did start out with a one-pager, and it expanded because clarification was needed.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, great. Let's meet afterwards if it's good with you.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do that.
All right. Thanks.
I would submit you don't need to bring anything back to the group. Just move okay. forward with it when yes. that's done.
Thank you, John. Because I would like to get this out with the yeah. start of school.
Great. All right, Facebook page. Discuss that or?
Yeah, Amanda, do you want to jump in? And
so I think what we finally came to was you were able to turn off comments, right? And that was my issue was whether or not we're creating a First Amendment access issue. Public Works has their own Facebook page and they also have public comments turned off. I talked to the attorney that represents Public Works. He didn't know they had a Facebook page. So we kind of quickly talked about it. And since it's really just a dissemination of information, kind of like any other web page, there's no real issue in turning off the comments. We just have to make sure, again, that we're archiving, which as long as we don't delete any of the posts off the Facebook page, they're kind of there regardless. So. And as long as we have a county staff person who has access to the page, if the public records request comes in or something like that, we can pull that information off pretty easily. But other than that, there shouldn't be any issues in moving forward with that page, since it's just, you know, it's the cheapest version of a web page you can kind of come up with. So
okay.
makes sense.
And will that subject her phone to being taken for Any reason? To have the information pulled out here?
So what I was going to do is I was going to...
Thank you.
We've all been down this Facebook page before in the county. I don't want to go there. I was going to... I just put the one on my page as like a... This right. is what it was would look like. So then I was going to delete that and create like a new account that is like a standalone account, not connected to me in any way. And then that way county staff could have access to it and PAB could also have access to it. And it's not, you can't look at my private Facebook stuff while you're
accessing
it.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
Because when you're doing the Facebook thing, it's not like you're posting it on something else. Like you're not necessarily, the issue that you run into with your personal devices is if you're, you know, dropping a document or something like that, or texting or something like that, where it's solely held on that device versus kind of the ether of the Facebook sort of thing. So there shouldn't be any issue as far as, number one, I don't have any public disclosure requests that we had from PAB. I've been here 2 years, I haven't heard of one, so I don't know that they really happen all that often, and I can't imagine I'm going to get one for it. I need every, you know, well, getting down to that level of a request. Or even a lawsuit. So I think we'd be fine moving forward with whoever's going to have access and be posting that sort of thing. That's not going to kind of open up their entire personal device to search or grabbing or
seizure. Sounds good. So I think you can go forth and be creative, Kelsey.
Okay. So maybe to start with, I'll just make the page. Who else wants to be on PAB in the...
Get one of the kids next.
You do.
No, I said get one of the kids at the next meeting.
Oh, how about you?
Oh, yeah, they'll be hot on that.
Okay.
And I'd like to be included.
So, but the youth will need guidelines.
Yes.
Around what to post. Yeah. I mean, that is a little bit of a danger, I think, in terms of have our youth post to our Facebook. You know, they're still learning about social media and what's acceptable and what's not, and I think that maybe that's not. I would just throw caution at that from my standpoint.
Yeah.
So maybe if we do let them post, they have to send it to like Barbara or myself for approval.
Should be reviewed.
Yeah. Some sort of review, maybe for adults too on the board, like, hey, any thoughts on this before?
That's true. You never know when Kevin's going to fly off the handle.
No, I think that's great because then we'll get some pictures from their schools and such, or maybe them at a park or.
Yeah.
I run a couple nonprofit Facebook pages for the groups, and basically, the group members send me stuff and then gets distributed that way instead of everyone being in there and oops, I didn't mean to click this. It can get messy.
Yeah. Control point is always important on websites.
I think too we have to be real careful if students submit photos of other students. I don't know how the county deals with that, but we'd have to have photo release of all of that. It becomes very messy. So as we're looking at it before we post it, we ensure that no direct students are identifiable and just in terms of that. So I think just a little more caution there too. And maybe when we hire our students for our team, we can have them complete a photo disclosure form then so that we can take pictures of them and post them on our site if it's part of their hire package.
You always think of all the good things.
Kind of like kid ideas. Just to work with kids. Protect our children.
That's a good point. Okay, so this was a motion that was tabled previously. Do we want to complete the motion and go forward?
The motion is to approve formation of a Facebook page.
Facebook page for PAP.
I'll move it.
I'll
somebody's
got to
move it.
All right, so
let's get her done.
It's been seconded. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor say aye.
You.
Aye.
Those that are opposed? All right.
Did you have a comment?
He said aye.
Oh. He said aye, I think.
Yes, that's correct.
Aye.
All right, so we're to the Conservation Futures Projects Review, and Pat, I apologize, I called you Don a minute ago. I'm terrible with names, so my wife would attest to that. what, 25 years, 27 years. So.
I hope you get her name right.
Most of the time, I do. Yeah, she gets my name wrong sometimes. There's been quite a few jokes about that, too.
Did we skip this?
But awesome. Anyway, we'll let... Yeah, or did I skip something? Sorry.
What's that?
This is after.
Oh, this is new business. Oh.
That's new business.
Okay, sorry.
Okay. Yeah, safety. All right. So, Pat, the floor is yours.
Okay, so last week, was it that we met? Last week, Wednesday, that we met. We put our scores up on the board, ranking projects 1 through 12, then just totaled up all the points to find out where projects sat relative to one another. We had a little glitch in that there was one overvote and one undervote, so we sent information back out to you, and as of Wednesday, we got all scores back, and we have updated rankings. And again, as I say, you always want to step back before formulating final recommendation, make sure things sipped out the way you want. So that's kind of the stage where we are right now. We have 12 projects, and you can see the relative ranking that they occurred, and I have put together four scenarios that could be considered, sort of project groupings, that I think provide a good range of project groupings to consider and perhaps formulate recommendations around. First is do all the projects. If you go to the page underneath the ranking sheet, it's a sort of a summary of kind of the scenarios. So we do all 12 projects. We'd hope we could complete them by 2021. It would require financing a $9 million debt issue. The annual debt payment over 20 years is $625,255. At the end of sort of, we get reimbursed for all the grants associated with these, we'd have a fund balance of $3,514,007. And then I put 10-year and 20-year. After we get this list done, the only acquisition that is in there is the ongoing $250,000 a year. So there is, from the point that we conclude these projects, unallocated acquisitions of $250,000 a year for the rest of the 20-year period. But we have not developed additional project lists to draw things out. So I just gave the fund balance at year 10 and fund balance at year 20 as an idea of how the money would accumulate, assuming that limited acquisition ability. A second, the assumptions for each of these scenarios that are summarized, I've attached the actual cash flow numbers underneath in sequence, very small writing, very big chart. So I don't think I'm going to refer to it unless you have some specific questions. One thing you will notice when we talk about project groupings, except for the scenario 4, which I'll get to later, the timing and purchases was kind of informed somewhat by how urgent we think some of these are, when we might be able to get outside funding to assist us make those. So a variety of things. So it doesn't necessarily go in a sequential progression, top rank, then that, except in the last one, which is no bond financing. So, second scenario then is try and complete the top 9 projects. I have a list of projects that would include. I think I tried to list these projects in the order of ranking that we came up with as of Wednesday. So, bond size would be reduced from $9 million to $5 million. Still a bond term of 20 years. Annual debt service payment of $347,364. Again, we try to complete those 9 projects by 2021. Get grant reimbursements by 2022. After reimbursement of grants, we have $3,076,087 in the kitty. Fund balance at year 10 is 5,600 and some, and then you get up to 17,000 again not having assigned any other acquisitions over that time period other than the ongoing $250,000. And realistically, as we mentioned when we first started this, every 4 to 7 years when we feel we have sufficient balance in the fund, that's probably when we go out and do another round of project proposals, much like we have experienced the last couple of weeks. The third one is complete only the most urgent projects. Again, this was kind of informed somewhat by sort of that risk factor that was a challenged estimate for all of us, but as you might expect, those probably within the urban growth boundaries or very close to urban growth boundaries would probably be the ones that would be more likely to be lost opportunities. We didn't move on them quickly, or because we're pretty sure if we can't continue our conversations with landowners, they will look at a different option. So we're down to the 7 projects listed there. Bond size gets reduced to $4 million. Bond term 20 years. Debt service payment reduced to $227,891. Again, try and complete those projects by 2020, get reimbursed by 2021. And then the sort of the numbers of where we would be and how the money would accumulate from that point. And scenario 4 is the pay as we go. So that includes all 12 projects. I just did the flow projections based on take first priority first, second priority second, when we have sufficient money to do that one, third project third. And what that does, we get through all 12 projects in year 2026. Reimbursements 2027. Yeah, if they're still there. And that's the question, of course. And then fund balance after the receipt of all grants, and then at the end of that 20-year period, we'd have a fund balance with no additional acquisitions assigned at this point besides that $250,000 of 17. So those are the groupings and numbers that, you know, I think are at least a good starting point for you to discuss and formulate recommendations around for the Board of County Councilors. I think Kelly made the motion last week to say that it was approved. We would support bond financing for whatever list of projects Board of County Councilors felt was appropriate. So that's kind of where we are. And certainly any further questions, I'm happy to answer them.
So other than that, one question.
Sure.
On the next page, which I'm assuming is scenario 1, am I reading this right, that even with a $9 million bond, it would still take till 2021 before we buy everything? I'm looking at the bottom half of this page.
Yes, in terms of the cash flow, and that may be more timing of taking on all 12 projects.
Okay, that's what kind of
as
what
well about. As what grant opportunities might be available relating back to the projects.
So a good
well, any of these time set,
setting expectations, it's not going to all happen in 2018. In other words,
no, it's going to take a few years, and it may take longer than right. You know, estimate. We tried to draw down things as fast as possible, so we are not underestimating the acquisition costs that we're going to have in the cash flow model.
So I know this is kind of a subjective question, but what's your thoughts, you and Bill? I mean, you know, we've got opinions, we see things from a different angle. You guys are the ones who are going to manage this, work through this and everything else. Which scenario, I'm interested in, I guess my thought came from, I know, you know, scenario 1 is when we kind of all talk about where we acquire all properties, we take a shot at all properties. But then you looked at scenario 2 and took the top 9. What got, you know, I'm just interested in your opinion, because you guys are the, I want to use the word experts, you're the most experienced at this. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've got a wish list and we're kind of like playing, but it's kind of like playing with Monopoly money to us sometimes. you're the ones that have to live with it. You're, you know, and then right. we have to go to the counselors and ask for the money, yeah. get the bond approved.
I mean, clearly on the financial aspect, you know, if we're going to be financing and what the size of the financing is, you know, going to be critical in what we can take on.
Right.
You know, personally, it would be great to try and do as many as possible. I think that some of these opportunities would be lost. That would be good long-term investments for the county to make. I would say I would try and draw the line at scenario 3. So I would say the range between kind of those three alternatives would be what I would suggest are the best approach in terms of historically what we've been able to. Yeah.
Bond size 4 to 5 million.
We've done. I think we've done a 4 million bond. I think we've done an 8 million bond before.
Okay.
And debt service payment. I think on the 4 million is going to be over in 2024.
Okay.
You know, my dad always said, if you don't have the money in your pocket, you don't do it. But there are a couple of exceptions to that. And I look at the opportunity cost here. And I have to say that it's like buying a house. That's the one time you finance, because it's a long-term investment. Is there something I'm not seeing in the criticality of going with option number 1? To me, the debt service there, I think, offsets the opportunity cost. But I don't have 100% comfort level with that. Do you know what I'm saying, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
Can you help me?
The opportunity cost? Is that? Well, I think the opportunity cost, what are the... If you look at scenario 3, I don't think, we don't go on those
in the next couple of years.
Those will be the opportunities that will clearly be lost.
Mm-hmm. And those
others, Lake River, Yakko Forest, Rock Creek, East Fork, Lewis River, Optimus, Middle Salmon Creek, I would say in terms of the urgency, those are lesser. Like Weyerhaeuser is a huge chunk of land for the Yakko Forest, for example. And mm-hmm. no question, it's being eroded around the edges.
Yeah.
And over a period of years, that erosion will continue to occur. Is it reasonable to expect that it'll be solely completely and totally lost as an opportunity? There'll still be a core forest project there on down the line. So that's kind of the rationale in terms of getting to that 3. I think because they're at the table now, because it's being looked at as a long-term investment in rural employment, as well as, you know, ecological significance of the forest, our waterways, air quality, things like that, they're at the table now. Might not take a run at trying to do it, but to do that, to do it in good conscience and start negotiations, we have to know there's money available to do that. And some of these will fall through. There's no question some will fall through. So
the question
kind of the cash flows present kind of a worst case scenario doing all 12.
Yeah, so the question almost becomes, do you limit yourself now from the get-go going after them, or do you try to, as Barbara's saying, you know, go after all 12 with an opportunistic, due to an opportunistic timing of a scenario? So
if we don't recommend all of them now, all of them don't have an opportunity to go before the county counselors, and the county counselors may not have the desire to see all of them. If we're only going to recommend part of them, it's somewhat already paring the list down before it goes forward to those who will make the choice about if they can afford the annual debt service or they want to participate in that.
Yeah.
I almost feel like as a my personal opinion as a board, this or this group, that providing as much opportunity for the conservation of these lands as possible without putting that restriction forward knowing that we're not in charge of the budget as a collective group and that somebody else needs to make sure that they can afford that budget item, the prioritization, I think, is the key part from our input, and that would just...
Yeah, I would say that the board did comment at the work session before we kicked off this process, and some of you were there. They, I believe it was Councilor Olson, suggested they would really like to see some alternatives come forward. Yeah. And so I've sort of tried to construct what I think are a reasonable range of alternatives based on the rankings that you provided to the projects and running the numbers accordingly. So,
well, I just have to say that from our experience with Park District 10, I've become maybe a little hypersensitive about the loss of land and opportunity. We've had to struggle to procure parklands in Park District 10. There's no question that there's a need for them. But just finding the opportunities has been horrendous for you, Bill. Mm-hmm. And I really give you accolades for your success. But I do feel just a really strong sense of urgency around some of these lands. And I didn't know if it was from a personal perspective, because, you know, we're always trying to balance and separate what we feel is a personal thing from what is truly good for the community. And so I was having a little difficulty if that was my priority or the community. So I appreciate hearing it's not. It's shared by the group.
I think it's difficult in that the fact that, of course, you know, Pat and I, as lands managers, we would love to see all 12 projects go forward. Bonding to the maximum extent for the $9 million, obviously that ties up more money over a long range of time. So when we reapproach this exercise 7 years from now, you know, our buying power might be already, some of our buying power will be tied up. And so, but I agree with what you say, Jennifer, is that, you know, the counselors need to see all these projects, and there are scenarios listed here, which ones should go forward. And I don't know if we want to put all the onus onto the counselors to make the final decision when we're here to try to accomplish some of that.
I think what we've done is help provide the prioritization, because the expertise has come from this council forward. But so having that, I think, could be very valuable for a counselor to have, going, oh, I do see the priority of the project, and that helps to inform, but saying, you know, we want them all. And if that's the direction this group wants to go, I think being able to have as much flexibility, if the counselors decide that they can't do them all, at least they have the flexibility and they have the prioritization that we've provided as that skilled voice that comes to them.
Does so Kelly have something? Did you have something to add?
Respect the challenge that Pat embarked on in trying to assess even
the risk and coming up with a list that had those that are at highest risk. And one of the challenges that I found in doing that, I'll use the Forest Project as an example, that Weyerhaeuser used to be a vertically integrated forestry company who held land because they needed it as a land base for the logs that went to their mills. They don't own mills, they were bought by Plum Creek. We found that a number of companies like the current version of Weyerhaeuser are selling their land on 60 to 90 degrees notice at auction. And this is the largest piece of private natural land in our county. And so one analysis is the one that Pat made, which is that it's been there for decades and decades and it may continue to be available. But the other analysis that we found in other outlying areas surrounding our county is that land like that within a year from now could be all gone to auction and marketed off and subdivided. And so it still would have to comply with the county code, but you'd lose the opportunity to maintain this huge block. So I think we've done all of us the work to bring a really great slate of projects before you, and I share Shakel's thoughts.
Thank you, Cliff.
Okay. Where did Kelsey get? There she is. I want to get her opinion before we do anything else. But it strikes me, you know, I look at the numbers, and I'm an engineer. Sorry, I look at numbers. But, you know, you look at the bond size and the annual debt service of scenario one versus two, and it's, you know, it's a big significant difference. And then you look at the prioritization of the project or the properties, and I don't know, it's just tough. It's tough to figure out. I'm all for, you know, trying to get all of it and as much as we can, but at $9 million with a $600,000 roughly a year annual debt service versus $5 million with half of that or roughly half of that, I'm also a very practical person, so I guess sometimes that gets in the way of, you know, as my wife says, you're not very bold, you're not very, you know. Strady and I said, well, I'm an engineer, so you knew that when we got into this. But it just, you know, and I'm not saying I want to take the middle of the road, but we got to be practical because I do want us to get these projects. I want to get as many as we can, so I worry if we go after all of them, are we going to get halfway through some of them and lose more than what we would gain? But my thoughts. So, Kelsey, what do you think?
I think it was John who said, if we redid our numbers, would we rank them like we did last week? So that's something that weighs in the back of my mind, is we have a kind of a firm grasp of one through three, probably all of us, and then our bottom three. But I just have some concerns that if we redid it all, we might have a very different ranking system. And so for me, I think all these projects have validity, and I worry about, like Barbara said, these lands not being there. And I would hate to miss some of these opportunities. On the flip side, I go back to what I was torn with last week when we had all these presentations, that for me, I rank the ones higher that focus more on conservation and less on the trail building. Because to me, that's something that's very different than, yes, it's a part of that, but for me, I was thinking this is conservation future, preserving open land, protecting salmon habitat. I rank those ones way higher because in my mind, that's what this program I feel should focus on. So, you know, I right now lean towards scenario one, just because, like Barbara said, they could barely find piece of land for a park in her PIF district, and I don't want to get down the road where we lose these opportunities. And like Pat said, yeah, Yakult Forest may be there in 10 years, but like Glenn said, it may not. And so I lean towards scenario one. I know taking on debt is always scary, but we've never had a problem with it in the past, right? When we've done these bond scenarios, or have we ever gotten into a situation where
in fact, we've we've actually, our treasurer's office has done an excellent job of managing the investments, and we've refinanced bonds a couple of times at a much lower interest rate, so it saved us money over time.
Okay. And right now, bonds are so affordable, such a great deal. Mm-hmm. So it seems like if we're going to do it, the timing is right to do a scenario.
The one thing we always have to look at is, you know, the future. You know, what is this county going to look like 50 years from now, 100 years from now? So the things that we do right now leave these long-lasting legacies. And so, you know, tying these properties up before they're gone is of utmost importance. So it's something that we really have to consider. You know, we do 20 years of debt service, but look at the long-term benefit to all of the folks in Clark County. So.
Yeah, and think about how quickly Battleground just grew. I mean, it used to be just something out there a little ways, and now it's just, it's affordable to live there, and so it's just growing leaps and bounds, and our downtown is just exploding with so many new developments and the vitality that's happening up on this side of the water, that more people are going to want to live over here. We have great schools, and the more
yes, we do.
The more land we can preserve that doesn't get developed.
Yeah, I look at what's happened around me just in the last 12 years. There's nothing left. Just house after house.
Well, go ahead. I didn't know if it's okay for you to make. Jay, your comment is one that really resonates with me about the financial, you know, looking at the numbers and seeing what debt service goes up that much. And what I finally, how I came to some resolution with that about thinking of the whole project is that the column that isn't before us now, which would be very hard for us to develop, is what the future cost of that land would be. Yeah. And that's really what we want to compare the bond service costs to. And I'm reminded of, I don't know if you all probably have been out to Lucia Falls Park, and they all have known it as a private park before it was a public park, but it came on the market, and in my time at the Parks Department, it was for sale, and we had done an appraisal, and we were able to buy it for, I think it was about $350,000, and but the landowner had said he wanted a little bit more than the appraised value, and so we ended up saying we're not willing to do that, we're not going to buy it. And you know, 3 years later, we had another opportunity at it, and at that time, we had the appraisal done, and it was $1 million. And I'm just left, I mean, that was such a, and we went ahead and bought it at that point. but it was a really defining experience for me that the raise in property value was something.
It's a very valid point.
And you think about, like, here's my example. We built Skyview for $19 million back in, like, 99. We couldn't build Skyview for less than 115, 120 now. So 100 million more in 20 years to build the same school. It's pretty shocking.
I have a question of qualification, if I could, real quick. Sure. Did you want to go to David next? That's fine.
Well, no, go ahead.
Bill, you made some kind of inference to the size, and if I captured your comment correctly, the size of the bond may limit the amount of dollars available for the conservation futures in the future attempt?
Well, this bond is basically going against future earnings of the Conservation Futures Fund. Okay. And so the Conservation Futures Fund brings in
It brings in $2.3 to $2.4 million a year, which it can go up by 1% most years. Some years it doesn't go up. So
we have existing debt service that we're currently paying off, and then we have this new debt that we would be adding on to it. So it will have that impact over a range of time, and so that limits the future buying power. Then at that time, of course, 7 years from now, we would go after another bond and then finance these other. So. That's just the one thing that I mentioned as a potential downside of financing everything.
It's just like a home mortgage. It's a 20-year commitment.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So would that then limit our potential purchasing power 5, 8, 9, 10 years from now for conservation futures? Because where I'm going with my train of thought, and I don't even know if it's accurate or not, is that by perhaps not going for all 100% now, this priority list, the ones that are maybe lower on our priority list, may be more important, or there may be other priorities that come up in that time frame by the time we go to the conservation futures again. Mm-hmm. And we've self-limited ourselves by the available funding because of trying to do the whole enchilada under scenario one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that an accurate or is that a plausible?
Yeah, it is. And then Pat also mentioned that we're always setting aside $250,000 a year for these little emergency projects that come up that we need to go buy something now or it's lost forever. Yeah. So that's still factored into all of this.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, I mean, it does limit us. You know, if we were to go through for scenario one, all 12 projects, yeah, it will limit our ability in the future.
That's my only concern. Is there maybe other priorities 3 to 5 years or 7 years from now that are more, I don't want to say more important, but are viewed as maybe a higher priority or investment, yeah, than the ones that are kind of high on the tree net right now, the ones that we have on low on our list.
Your existing bonds, though, they're paid off in 2024, yeah?
Yeah,
yes.
So we're still not gaining any more years for the other debt service component, and then in 2024, so you've got a couple years where your debt service is significantly lower before you can go back out again.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And there's also, this is, revenue is based on 1% growth.
Yeah.
You know, with all the construction that happens, your revenue will be considerably more than 1%.
Foreseeable future, but that can always drop off.
Everything can change, absolutely.
I don't think we'll ever have an 08 again. I hope to God we don't, seriously. But we can always level off.
Treasurer's office actually said 3.36% for the bonds still.
That was their estimate of what they could obtain in today's market.
Big. We just went out for revenue bonds and we were at 4.75, but we're a lot smaller than you, so advantages of being big, I guess.
Yeah, that's the investment pool. We just got that.
You just got that.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dave, you haven't been here. You've been quietly listening.
So I've got a few things. First of all, these properties like Yakult, I see every day how far we're pushing out further for the Skamania. Now I'm looking at Klickitat County for developers and stuff. I mean, they're going to be taken up eventually. I am a person that does not like debt, but at the same time, I really appreciate a good deal. And I do, just like I felt with the schools, if you're going to do a bond, it's the time to do it. I think you have to do a scenario one.
Go now, go big.
That's it.
Yeah.
Simple.
I mean, from the council, you know, this is the process. So I would just think that, I'm sure you know you may not get what you asked for.
Sure.
But
absolutely.
You're the only advocates for this land that we have. So if you don't advocate 100% for it, it's not going to get it. So,
it's a great
you
point.
Know, so I say go for the moon and
go big or go home.
You know, yeah.
Go
yeah.
big or go home.
If you don't ask for it, you don't get it.
All right. That's a very good comment.
Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
So, Pat, your work has been awesome.
Yes.
Yeah.
And extensive and quick and accurate and wonderful.
So
thank you.
Credit Laura for it all. She's the one that had to pull all the notebooks together when I left town for the day.
Glad to support you. You're the brain.
So
thank you.
Being the motion guy today.
You want us to make a motion?
Probably to make
to recommend a scenario?
I think based on the prior council direction, I think we should present all the scenarios. Would you agree with that, Councilor? Yes. Okay. Very good. But
present all, but
can we present a recommendation, though?
Yes, you can.
Cross that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can make a motion out of that?
Yeah. So move to forward all recommendations with a move to forward all scenarios with the recommendation of scenario one.
Second.
Right. It's been moved and seconded to forward all scenarios with the recommendation of scenario one being from the PAB.
Yep. Yes, Kelly.
What did he say?
Kelly, what was that? Sorry.
Four.
What about four?
He's four.
He's four. He's four.
Oh,
he's four.
Okay.
You're saying you're for that motion?
I'm saying I'd like to see us only have the top three.
Okay.
Yes, actually, I'd take that as a friendly amendment.
Would you like to amend your motion then?
Yeah, actually, because we talked about that early and I actually do agree because scenario four does not make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
So let's amend that motion to forwarding the first three scenarios with a recommendation on one.
All right. Second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Right. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you.
Good catch.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all your
great work.
All your commitment to this process.
Thank you, everyone, for all that. Take the time.
So when this is going to affect the council?
Okay.
We'll probably set up a work session.
New business. Okay. We have the safety fair. Barbara?
All right. I think Laura got out to you the recommendation from our partnerships and marketing subcommittee. One of the things that we've been talking about in our committee, and jump in anytime I'm off base, is that as a Parks Advisory Board, it's important that we reflect our community's needs. And that means that we're either doing a lot of glad-handing and communicating with neighbors and friends and such on an informal basis so that we're assured that we're reflecting the community's needs and not our own. I think we all agonize around that balance all the time at this table. So one of the opportunities is we felt it was important that PAP start getting out there and building more name familiarity and sharing information and gathering information. So in the recommendation that we forwarded to you, we're recommending that PAB set a strategic objective for public outreach and education. That as park advocates representing our communities, it's important to stay connected, that outreach should not be limited to just the comp plan input or times that we have a park built. By staying connected with the community on a regular basis, it will allow us as PAB members to remain closely aligned with key areas of importance to our constituents. The engagement opportunities can generate community enthusiasm as well and appreciation for our parks, trails, and open spaces. They can also promote meaningful partnerships, volunteerism, funding support, collaboration, and true communication. And I'm thinking here where we're looking at maybe supporting some of our other PABs when they go out for replicating our bond measure that takes care of maintenance of parks. You don't get approval on stuff like that if people aren't familiar. And the best way to make them familiar is to not just be in their presence when you're asking for something, but to be there and offering, nice to meet you. Do you know of the parks in your neighborhood? Did you know we're building a new park here? Were you aware of the new trail? So we can offer information as well. The team is suggesting that PAB plan to participate in 3 to 4 public outreach activities each year. Partnerships with other PABs even. This would be a great thing where we could partner with some of our other PAB members so that it's not just us staffing those tables. I think that that would help enhance our relationships as well. Now, the motion I'd like to place is on the back page here, that PAB support community outreach at a minimum of 3 community events in the next 12 months and start by staffing a table at the Clark County Sheriff's Office Safety Complex Open House, which is going to be out in Ridgefield on September 16th. I've talked with Casey about it, and she's holding a table just in case for us. And at this, you're saying, okay, I'm already coming to these meetings and such, but this really is a golden opportunity for not all of us. We don't all have to be available on the 16th. And I gave 2 different staffing options, one looking at a 2.5-hour shift and the other looking at 2-hour shifts. So either 4 members or 6 members, because you always want to have a team. And breaking it down, that particular event I know that we've sat at on a neighborhood basis, and we probably see 4,000 or 5,000 people roll through there. They come for the hot dogs and the exhibits, and then they wander through the tables afterwards. So it's a good opportunity to meet just a very broad spectrum of the people that live here in Clark County. And it's not just the people in Ridgefield or northern area that are there. People from Vancouver come on up to it too, just because it's a great place where you get your kids registered with their fingerprints, they get to see the canines, they come for the fun. It's also, I thought, a good opportunity for us to support our staff in other ways, like making an outreach for some of the volunteer opportunities. And so maybe get some information from Karen to put on our table. But I have a clear vision in my mind, a table with our little banner in the front. Told you to do double duty, you guys. And on that table, we could get a big print of on easels of the Lewis and Clark Trail. That's an exciting thing for us to share with people. One of all the parks, because let's face it, when I say to you, come and talk at this, there's a little hesitation. Oh, Kevin will say, I'm new, I don't know. I'd be uncomfortable with that. So I put down a list of cheat sheet stuff that we need to have there. Because, you know, my mind's not what it used to be, so I kind of forget details sometimes. So I like little cheat sheets. So I put down that not only do we need these maps up there for people to look at and us to point at, but that it would be good if we had things like a list of all of the parks and trails, if we can get those little ones that we got off of Julie, get a stack of those there, a volunteer sign-up sheet with information brochure on how to sign up, get that from Karen, I hope, how to reserve a shelter, a little sheet on that. These are things that are of interest to people. But if we have there a copy of our PROS plan, a list of all the parks and park amenities to read. So you, somebody says, I live in, here, you know, you can say, oh, well, here's this park. You got your cheat sheet. A list of current park projects. A list of our counselors and how to contact them. A list of park staff, an org chart so that we know who's on deck. A list of our PAP members. Just any little cheat sheets we might need in case somebody asks a question, so you've got the answer at your fingertips, Kevin, and feel comfortable as a new member going out there and do an outreach. These are really opportunities, because if we want to advocate for our residents, the really the best way to do it is to get out and be there and look at the value that we add. I think of how long I lived in my home, and I didn't know that I could enter Whipple Creek, or that Whipple Creek Park was actually there, as big as it is, because it was up off of 21st that I entered. Isn't it nice to have that list? And when I was going down the list, I said, oh, what's this park? And I went and I visited it. It's only blocks away. And I didn't know it was there. How many of our residents actually have that happen? And so for us to be there and have that big park map and list of parks, that's a value right there. Or I thought it was really important for them to know that they can come here and bring their concerns, and I say I being I the team. And so I put together this little brochure. Hopefully you got a chance to look at it. It would be a little trifold. Thank you for figuring that out and folding it up.
Sure.
And it was just an idea of some of the information that we want to maybe say, hey, we're here, please come and join us at a meeting. Bring any issues you've got about parks. You do have a place to turn if you have concerns. So, what did I forget to say?
Two of us have a lot of familiarity in her association experience, but also she has all her association experience. But the public contact itself is so much. It is just excellent resource, and you never know where those partnerships will form. And these are meaningful partnerships because you have gone out to the public and asked them.
Thank you. And I agree. How do you feel? Is there a second for the motion?
I'll second your motion, and I'll volunteer that day.
Yeah, I'll volunteer too.
There you go.
Okay. We need at least one more.
I'm booked that day, but I'd be happy to for future.
Yeah, you were used in all the scenarios she presented. But you were used in all the scenarios.
The pressure was on.
Pressure's on you because I used you as an example.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good start.
Future. Definitely in future.
Okay. Well, then.
And I don't mind doing a shift alone if we can't find a fourth.
Oh, well, I can hang too.
And I've got to check my schedule.
Well, Malotta will be, we'll see if we can get next to Malotta's table as well.
Well, I need the hot dogs and the beverages and also summer activities for the kids. So it's going to be kind of hard to get everybody in there and get the beverages for you yourself.
Well, but that takes me to my next question, and that is, do we have, because all of the tables there always have, let's face it, the kids walk around with their little bags, and they have activities for kids, and they like to collect garbage, as I call it.
Uh-huh.
You know, whether it's an eraser or a pencil or something. Do we have any county-type giveaways that we could put on our table?
We might have some stuff that we can do.
You know,
one thing that comes to mind is one thing we've done with our Bring Your Kids to Work Day is let's cut up these little discs from fur limbs.
Oh.
We got, you know, unlimited supply of those, so you make these little discs, and we drill a hole in them, then the kids can color them, put their name on them, tie a string around it, put it around their neck, and those things go like, they go fast, and they're really popular, and it's something that engages the kids, and actually brings them closer to parks, so.
And makes their parents come and stand at our table.
Absolutely. Yes, it does.
Yeah. So you maybe can check into that for us?
Sure. We can make them up. We've made thousands of them.
Yeah. Well, I guess we should have our vote first.
I was going to say, is your motion just to attend this event or to attend?
No, it says three. It says that we do a minimum of three community events in the next 12 months.
Okay.
Starting by staffing a table. So starting. This is the first.
So three.
We'd have to bring the other ones ahead.
Okay. Just want to clarify that. Make sure we're
Yeah, because my concern is that the ones that I'm familiar with are all kind of over here. And we represent the community of Clark County.
Clark County.
So we need to look for an opportunity, maybe out in the Camas Washougal area, and partner with our friends from that path.
Chemistries just came in the room, so.
Yes.
Trail symposium is one of the three.
I did hear.
He said the trail symposium. I think he's saying the trail symposium is another opportunity.
It would be a good one
to Clark to attend. And
that is one of the three.
Yeah, it could be used as one of three.
Yeah.
Okay, so the motion's been made. Did I hear a second?
I'll second.
All right.
Dave.
That's right. Dave seconded. All right. Moved and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Jay.
Aye. Those opposed? All right. We're moving along.
Oh, one last question.
Yes, sir.
Is there any revisions to this that I shipped out?
I think Bill has a new phone number.
What's that?
Is this your newest phone number, Bill?
2285.
It's on the website.
Yep.
Don't we want to put his home number on this?
I almost put yourself.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you got your new number or if this was your new number.
Yeah, it's the new number.
The new one.
We're good to go. Yeah. I proofed it, and we had a couple little changes that we actually incorporated into what you're seeing today. So.
Okay. And so if you could maybe let Karen know, I'm going to be calling her and she can maybe help support us.
Yeah, it's actually my maintenance staff who actually can help make those things up, and then obviously she can supply all the volunteer outreach information. And so, and I'll try to pop in there too. There is one other event going on. It's Kickball for Kicks. That's an event that's happening here. That's where a lot of the county officials will be coming here as a fundraiser. I'm playing kickball on a couple of these fields, but that's not going to take away from this other event. So, at least it shouldn't. So,
Bill, big shout out and thanks to my team that have helped work on this.
Yes. Bill, also, next year we're redoing some of the county barn out in the fair to make it that you only have to be there 5 days if you want instead of 10 days. So it'll be some open, so if you would be interested in
that, would be a great place.
That would be wonderful.
I thought of that when I was at the fair yesterday.
I get a lot of people asking about parks.
Yeah.
Yes.
I bet you do.
We want to try to establish a presence out there. We got our vegetation management group out there, obviously, but we need to have a parks representation out there too.
Yeah.
And so our biggest problem is for staff is staffing that. You know.
That's why we're going to 5 days.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. We can do it.
Okay. So leads us to the manager's report.
Okay.
What's happening in parks?
We talked about the Ager property, and that's down there at Vancouver Lake Park, and it's a piece that we thought we always owned, but we did not. It's where the dike road comes out to Irwin O'Rigger Highway. It's a small sliver of land, and less than 5 acre parcel, and we've been maintaining it for all these years. And so we purchased the property. I believe the staff report was signed by our interim county manager this week. And so that's just going to help us with just the future. We have marathons that go over the top of the property and a lot of walkers and all that. We didn't know all this time that was actually privately owned, but it's just a small sliver. So that is done. So happy to say that. I just wrote down a list of our decision packages that are going forward in the fall supplemental, just so you have an idea of what our priorities are. And the first one was Heritage Farm Specialist position increased to 0.75 FTE. And so right now that Heritage Farm position is only 0.5, and it's gonna be tough to keep somebody in that position at only half time. And that's based on a full year schedule. So it's really tough. And the person that we've got at Heritage Farm, Joe Zimmerman, is doing a fantastic job. So it's just, it's number one priority. Number two, Parks and Lands grant writer, planner. It's actually a grant writer position, and with all of the grants that we are now going to have to go after, we've got Salachie Prairie, we've got Camp Bonneville, we've got Lewis and Clark Trail. We're going to have so many grants, and plus all the other grants to help assist in the construction of our parks. We could actually use two or three grant writers, but we need at least one to focus on nothing but grants throughout the course of the years to come, because we have very few opportunities to go after grants, especially at the state and federal level. So we got to really get our projects focused in and ready to go to give us our best opportunity. This grant writer is actually going to be working on these conservation futures grants as well. So, I mean, it's actually a huge scope, and so.
So Bill, we've asked for that grant writer, and that's always been just a no-brainer to me that they pay for their salary many times over.
Yes.
And we've not gotten them. What can we do this time to try to help support you in focusing the priority on that?
I rewrote the decision package to actually start naming some of the things we're going after grants on, like Camp Bonneville, mm-hmm. and the Lewis and Clark Trail, the Salachie Prairie Trail, and all these different things. I'm actually putting a name to the purpose of this grant writer's duties. And so I hope that's going to help sell this.
When is the meeting? Should we maybe show up?
Possibly. What's that?
When's the meeting? I think maybe if some of us.
This is for the fall supplemental. And so it'll be probably some meetings will start, I'm going to say November, with a final decision being made around December 1st. So there'll be some.
Let us know.
You think it would be
goes in front of the board?
Come and bring it
so
forward
and do the hearing.
There'll be the hearings that are coming up, but all these decision packages have to go through the finance team,
yeah,
to the budget office, and then from there it goes forward on to the councilors for further consideration. So it'll be later on this year.
Okay.
Third one. Is there a question?
I heard you say grant writer.
Yes.
And of course, when we tested, and there was some, we just write grant here and there. But when I testified, I said, it's not just grant writing. You have to monitor it. You have to implement it. You have to make sure that everything adds up. So it's not just a grant.
It's grants administration as well.
Grant administration.
Correct. Yes. Okay. Plus, it's also got a planning component there. You know, it's not just writing grants, but you're also a planner. You know.
Correct.
And so it's going to be. I feel sorry for the person who gets the job, quite honestly. They're going to have a lot of work ahead of them. And so. So, number three, vegetation management field technician for parks to support vegetation management program. So, for many years, we've had a field technician temporary position that's been working in to help in the full-timer. And that position, we've got one full-timer and one temporary position that's spraying all of our parklands, our medians, and parks, medians, conservation futures lands, and we are growing our properties left and right, so we actually need another position to help support the body of work that's going on there. Number four, increase the 0.75 parks maintenance specialist position to regular FTE, and so that's one of our parks maintenance staff, and so with all the growth that we're experiencing with adding park lands, we just need to turn that into a full-time, so it's a quarter-time position increase. Number five is new vehicle purchase and capital funding to replace two vehicles for parks and admin. Number six, Heritage Farm irrigation replacement. So that system is very derelict. It's outlived its useful life by many years, and it's actually, we're trying to band-aid it together and hoping that we can get it through a year, and there's no guarantees if we're gonna make it through this year, much less subsequent years. So. Hopefully we'll get that funding going through to get that completely changed out. Number seven, Heritage Farm equipment replacement. So we're asking for a couple tractors and a implement for that. The equipment is in rough shape, it needs to be replaced, and it's actually a safety factor that needs to be addressed, and so hopefully we can get this equipment for the farm. Number eight, Hawkinson Disc Golf Course and site improvements, and so that's this one may actually come off the list because we have funding for this within our PIFs, and so all we're asking for is budget authority, so we can actually probably do that in a staff report. So trying to reduce our number of decision packages, as I think we're professional beggars as parks people. And so trying to get the list down to the shortest amount possible, but yet all these projects will go forward. Number nine, Camp Bonneville thinning operations. So basically at Camp Bonneville, there's funding available. This one might come up, but it might stay on. There's funding at Camp Bonneville from previous operations, but it does cost money to do the thinning. But the revenues that come back in will increase what's being utilized by substantially. So let's say we have $3 million right now in the fund. We're asking for probably $1.5 million to do the thinning, but we'll get $3 million back. So we have a net increase. So just utilizing the funding to make more revenues. 10, Camp Hope site plan review permit fees, use an existing budget to hire a consultant and start developing application. That's Kevin's project. So we're going into, we did the master plan already, and now we're going into permitting, design, and permitting to move that forward, so we can get started on that. So we just need some extra funding. We burned up basically all the money that we had from timber thinning, so now we need to ask for new funding. 11, legacy lands, conservation futures, maintenance increase, expense authority to 25% of prior year's levy. Start planning some projects to increase public access to these projects. So. For years now, we've been bringing in 15% or utilizing 15% of the previous year's earnings towards maintenance of these legacy lands and parcels. We got about 5,000 acres now, and the legislature has recently approved that amount from 15% to go up to 25%. So it's already approved at the state level. We just need to get it approved at the county level. So
will you use all that 25%?
Not necessarily. The decision package is written to go up to 25.
So you needed. Give you the freedom to
use. We have the freedom there, yes. Because we might have some peak years when we have a storm or something where we have to use that up to 25. Okay. Other years it might just be 21% or, you know, whatever.
Thanks.
So it gives us that leverage or that ability. Number 12, Philadelphia Children's Garden and overflow parking lot improvement. So budget authority for using PIF 9. That one might come off as a decision package and just go in as a staff report, which actually is better because I can do that much sooner with a much sooner result than December 1st. So that's good. So that's we've got the funding in the PIF. It's just hitting the budget authority. Same thing with 13, Heritage Farm Master Plan update. I can actually do that out of existing maintenance budget. It's about $5,000 to $7,000 in that range. And so we're just gonna take it out of that and not have to worry about a future investment. 14, placeholder for Camp Bonneville Master Plan. So I talked to Heath about that this morning at our one-on-one, and he said, go ahead and go forth with that. We hit the valley floor is at 99.9% complete, which means we actually can start the planning process. And so it may or may not go through on this this cycle, but if not, it'll be ready to go or teed up for the spring cycle. But we could actually realistically start utilizing funding out of the forest proceeds to start that master planning process. So kind of anxious to get that moving forward. 15, off-leash area parking lot at Grove Field. This one just came up and excited about it. So I've got photos on this one that we'd like to share with you. So I met with John yesterday and Mark Watson with Dogpaw. Let's start with this one first.
John Jones,
who's our court commissioner.
For that can finally may happen.
Is that still being used?
Oh yeah,
I thought so. Yeah.
Here's Grove Airfield right here, out in the north of Camas. We call this the Fern Prairie area, if you will. And so the proposed off-leash area is right here, about 5 acres, right, John? Mm-hmm. And this is the parking lot, if you will. And so the proposal was to, and this is actually not new. I had Pete Capel come to me a year ago, right before the parks luncheon. He says, hey, would you mind throwing $50,000 towards a parking lot for a new off-leash area to support that, along with, because he was already committed to Camas back then. And so we've got the Port of Camas, Washougal, would be committed to putting funds in. The City of Washougal, City of Camas, and Clark County, between the four of us, we could, at say $60,000, we could come up with $240,000 towards the development of this parking lot, which we sorely need. And so the off-leash area out in Washougal has gone away. It was a Stevenson off-leash area. Has it been sold yet, John, or?
It's just being developed.
Yeah, it's being developed. Okay, so with the growth that's happening all around, we definitely need an off-leash area because our closest off-leash area is at Pacific Park. And as you well know, there's another one that we had recently approved at English, which is just south of Harmony Sports Complex. But this one will handle the more eastern area of Clark County, so for now. So what is interesting about this alignment is here's the future multi-use trail along Ledbetter, Camp Curry right here. So there's a trail that's going in. There's a new road somewhere along here that's gonna be crossing over, I'm not sure where, but it's gonna replace this road. So there's a potential link that can take us right to this off-leash area and over this way. So I like the idea. I met with Heath this morning about this and talked about it. He says, submit the decision package. So I'm gonna go forth with it, so that's cool.
Is Dogpaw doing better financially?
They are doing better. They have a much stronger board now, and they're actually, I asked Mark how many folks are signed up with Dogpaw. I think he's got
1,300.
Yeah, 1,200 or 1,300.
Yeah.
1,300, he wants to get it up there.
Yeah, he wants 25.
Yeah, he wants 2,500. Okay. He says they're fairly sustainable, but they're looking for more.
Because a while ago, it was looking
that. It was looking really great. Okay. They did this big outreach, and people got there. Were actually made aware that there was an off-leash group. So the awareness is really helping. So their outreach has paid off. So Veterans Retreats. So those are the decision packages that are going forward for this fall. And of course, I'll have a longer list. So any help in any one of these, as far as testimony, as we get closer to the goal. So I'm thinking somewhere, it's probably gonna be around mid-November. That's when the hearings will start, and then it should migrate towards December. So December will be the final hearing. So hopefully we'll do well. Yes, Kelly?
I haven't got an actual layout of what this is supposed to look like, but they want to use utilize this entire 30 acres, but the sleeping structures are going to be skids that sleep four people, and so there's going to be several of those, you know, scattered around. What's going to be more permanent is two buildings. One is a gathering building, or like a living, like living quarters, but a day use area where they have a kitchen built in, and laundry facilities, that kind of thing. So like a clubhouse, and then of course utilities, and then they might have some maintenance buildings. Nice. So that's really about it. So they're not going to be, you know, staying here on site. They might be going down to the Lewis River, utilize, you know, going out and kayak and doing that kind of stuff and coming back. But it's just a place for that they can reacclimate and seek assistance. So that's it for now. I can provide you, actually, I've got a scope of what is intended for this camp, so I can send that to you.
That'd be interesting.
At some point in time, I'd like to see if I can get a vote of support from the Parks Advisory Board to move this forward.
So, my only question about that is, how heavily used is that currently by public?
It's very, it's so remote that it's not used hardly at all. Okay. So I've got park hosts that live on site out there, yeah. And they're camping sometimes 2 to 3 cars a day right now for the camp. And we actually close it down October 1st and open it back up in April. So you can walk in, but don't drive in. And so it's really not discovered by us. And the actual existing camp is pretty fairly derelict, if you will. The fire rings are missing. The tables need to be rebuilt. And so we've had scouts in there kind of do some modest rebuilding, but it's a nice area to hang out in, but it's not a overnight camping facility by any standard that we might imagine. So be worth going out there sometime. That might be a future trip and to go see it. So.
Though I still like the idea of sending them over to Paul to Bonneville and building that. Still like the idea of sending them to Bonneville.
Yes,
the next option.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take a minute and let Laura go.
Yeah, go, Laura,
yes.
She's got 10 minutes.
I just want to make sure Kelly saw what he needed to see.
Yeah, congratulations.
He did.
Yeah.
Congratulations. You won't be late. You want you to be late on
the road. Don't miss that.
Okay, so more to come on that. I just wanted to inform you. Next one is Amboy. This one hit us very recently. And so it's kind of again was a surprise, and it is a matter that we have to address fairly soon. And so Amboy Baptist Church, it's a piece of property that is out in Amboy. I think I've got another photo that kind of shows proximity to the downtown of Amboy. Is it on there, or did I mess that one up? I think I might have missed it. So this is on Highway 503 heading up towards Yale. It's about 1.6 miles northeast of downtown Amboy, if you will. And I did create a map, and I think I messed it up when I tried to load it onto here for today. But anyways, back in 2010, Parks provided $400,000 towards the parking lots development and ball field development. Of this church property. Here's the parking lot right here. That was mostly installed to the point where all these facilities, all these islands, and all the drainage work went in, with the exception that it did not get paved. And so, but this ball field is constructed as well as this one here. And it's not irrigated, but it's flat, it's usable. And so
you want the aerial shot?
Yeah, let's do that. Amboy Baptist Church. Since then, went out and secured loans in the amount of $695,000, interest only loans. And that was back in 2010, 2011. They went through 2 or 3 extensions on these loans or renewals. And so the underwriter said, no more, we want our money. And so these loans are coming due and payable at the end of this month. So surprise, surprise. And so what we have in exchange for our $400,000 is a 25-year use agreement of the property with 3 possible extensions for another 15 years. And so once these loans come due, then the bank has about 3 months to correct it before it goes to a trustee sale. And so we have some options. It was the some officials from the Amboy Baptist community, not the church itself, came to us and said, what can you guys do to help? As the Amboy Baptist community, they're actually a first position lien holder, and they want their money as well. And so, three options, and I'm gonna be talking to the board about this. One, we go out and get the site appraised and find out what that property's worth as it stands today. And then if we get refunding, we'll pay for that property or what's owed or whatever's less. Option two.
What's REIT?
What's that?
What's REIT?
Real estate excise tax.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's from the sale of loans.
Okay, I just didn't know what the acronym was. Yeah, thank you.
There's a lot of hands in that pool, so it's not easy for us to get our hands on REIT funding. So, so option two is to let the property go into foreclosures and go to the actual trustee sale and try to possibly buy it at pennies on the dollar. That's an option. Or we can if it doesn't get bought by anybody at the auction, we can go after the fact to the creditors and make a proposal. And so, in that regard, if we were to do that and it was accepted, we would actually own the entire property along with this new church that's right here. So we have a church, it's a big playground that's out here. The one thing we'd have to do after we own it is pave this parking lot. The problem with this parking lot being paved is back in 2010 when we gave him the money, is that without paving the parking lot, he can't play in the fields. The parking lot's gotta be paved, it's a requirement.
So no one's been using these fields?
Correct. No, not officially. So to the point where they can actually go out there, play, and actually create a revenue, you know, from using these and all that kind of stuff. So the money was probably mismanaged. They used the monies that they got on loan to build the church and do some other things, but they should have done this first. That was a mistake. So we're in a unique position to move forward. So I'm going to meet with the counselors at board time to talk about this project next Wednesday, find out what their thoughts are moving forward. My interest in this is that we have no sports fields north of Louisville Park. And there's a lot of county north of Louisville Park. And so there's five different leagues that can utilize this field. So
Would we be charging the church rent?
If they even stay there. So,
could be a community center.
Yeah, it could be.
Exactly. It could be a clubhouse for the sports field.
Exactly. Yeah.
If you look, hey, Jeremy, can you go back to the overlay? So, with the original plan of the fields, it's kind of like what we've got here. So, we've got a field here, and I think this is the open area. I think the church was actually designed. So, here's the church that's in right now. Another future building and basketball court. So I don't know if there's a potential of having a clubhouse here or just retasking the church as a clubhouse. So
how big is the church? How big is the property?
It's a new pole barn. It's a pole barn. That's what it is. And it's actually fairly new. It was built probably in 2012.
How big is it?
I'm going to say 3,200 square feet. Not small.
How big is the entire complex?
I'd say 28 acres.
Does the use agreement run with the land if it's sold?
No.
That's the problem.
It says 18.26 acres here, but I'm not sure if that's on their site.
So I'm not trying to be uber critical, but for 10 years, we gave them $400,000 10 years ago.
And 2010.
Or 8 years ago,
yes.
7 years ago, and they haven't done anything they were supposed to with that $400,000.
They built the parking lot, never completed it. They didn't smooth out the fields, the soccer fields.
Did we have any agreement with them that dictated timelines or anything?
I don't.
They're not going to have any money to give back to us anyway.
I know, but I'm just kind of irritated that we bought this property.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be used for sports fields. We gave them $400,000 and it didn't seem
like we followed up to make any of this happen, or we weren't nagging them.
We didn't buy the property.
We didn't buy it.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Well,
we gave them $400,000.
Was there any kind of stake in the property or anything with that
$400,000? It was just for the use of the property for 25 plus potentially 15 more years on top of it.
I just feel like we got scammed on that one.
Well, that's the problem is, you know, for our money, we're getting 7 years of use and now we're done. And actually wasn't really even used. Correctly. But, you know, so there are options that we can look forward to, and we could end up owning it and we'd get our funding back, if you will.
If we could combine with this, the one thing I've learned. Wineries and brew pub, I mean, all of this stuff is sort of, do we do that kind of stuff? Not necessarily maybe winery.
We have a public-private relationship with another church, and where the church owns the land, and we've got the amenity over the top. It's on 99th Street. So one thing that I've kind of come to realize is that if we're going to do a public-private relationship, the county needs to own the land as a part of the relationship, and not the other way around.
Yeah.
So it's one of those cases.
Strict terms in the contract that say by year three of this agreement, this parking lot needs to be done and this sports field needs to be completed. Because if there were no timelines.
I heard that they came back to us. Of course, that wasn't invested back then at the time. But they came back to us asking for more money to pay for the parking lot.
We can't do $400,000.
Right. So, wow. It's what it is. And so that's going to happen at the end of this month.
Lessons learned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$400,000, though, won't pay for the parking lot in today's dollars. But it could have 7 years ago.
We got an estimate. It would actually, all we have to do is pave it. So about $280,000 would get it paved. That's all that's left. Stormwater's done. All the curbing's done. Everything's there.
But like you said, this is a golden, maybe a hidden golden opportunity for aligning for the future growth out in that area.
Exactly. It's right on 503, so it's easy access.
Maybe the price can be right.
Yeah. So I just want to give you a heads up of what's happening right now. That's it. So I'll definitely be in a position to let you know what has been discussed next time I see you. That's it. That's all I wrote down for today's meeting. So
that's all.
That's all.
That's all.
All right.
Okay, so that's it.
Oh, yes.
Nope.
Sorry, Kelly. Bring it back, Kelly.
That's fine. Yeah, we gotta give him. I'm not sure we wanna give him control of the camera, though.
How's that, Kelly?
Yeah.
That's good. Is it? Okay.
Okay, so that's the manager's report. We'll do a real quick roundtable discussion. Start with you, Kelsey. You got any thoughts?
No. My only thought is, since we all seem to be on the same page with the conservation futures thing, is after the work set or being present at the work sessions. I know Barbara and I went to a lot of the PIF work sessions, and I just think seeing our faces there makes an impact on their decisions, and testifying in front of them at the hearings for the things that we're really passionate about, I think is important. So I hope you keep us up to date.
Yes.
Like, send us some emails of when those hearings
are. We'll do that. Yes.
And work sessions.
Yeah, please.
It's definitely important to have you guys there, because it's I think the counselors really do pay attention to who's sitting in the audience and for what purpose. So.
I do.
I've always said face value is almost as important as your words.
Yep.
Jennifer, anything?
You know, nothing that really relates to parks other than if you do want to put in soft surfacing underneath of any of your play structures, it's not as simple as it sounds. So. Your installers may have not put things in at the right height to the curb for the slope, for the ADA, for the access, for the whole thing. And I just say,
is this rubberized surfacing that you're talking about?
Yeah. So if you have an existing play structure, it's been interesting what we've learned about this process. So it's taking us quite a while. We're still in the process of doing one the county, one the city. And we even had to go as far as to submitting our MSDS sheets to water quality to ensure that there would be no leakage over time. So
no leachate,
we passed that hurdle, and that was fairly easy. Now it's really about just the height at which your pit has been installed relative to your everything else. So.
Was that the trowel in place kind, or was it the rubber pads?
These are big rubber 2x2 Lego style, right? So they're amazing materials.
Yes.
We're really excited to get them in. We're just, it's really been a learning curve. A lot slower than we thought. Well, a word of caution if we decide to do some of that, that's all.
Lesson learned.
Yeah. But we're still forging ahead. I took preparatories in the county, so that's one of our schools that is finishing up. It's really in schematic design right now, and it's awesome the types of archaeological findings that you can have up in the WSU property. So it's quite fascinating. It's slowing the projects down a little.
I was going to say, it'll slow your project down.
Yeah.
You do that with VBA all the time.
Yeah. Wow. So we're having a little fun on all fronts. So it's good.
Barbara, you got anything?
I'm good.
All right, John?
A couple things. First, I want to thank Bill for the help with the dog park. This has been a 2-year effort, I think, for Dog Paw, and I've been on it for a year and a half, and Bill jumping up and helping us move that thing is just awesome. So thank you.
You bet. I'm just hoping that we can get this thing going forward. So thank you for offering up the land on behalf of the port.
Had a real interesting discussion with Kurt and Joe Dean, whose last names I don't remember, yesterday. They are people in Battleground working on getting a community center YMCA up there.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joe Dean actually came to our meeting somewhere along the line. They're trying to figure out how to do a Metro Park District. And I suggested that they call you because you know a lot more about it than I do. The Metro Park District would be bigger than the city, it would match the school district. And so they're trying to figure out who could sponsor that legislation, whether it be a county thing or a city thing, or who would do that. I'm clueless.
So Metro Park District in conjunction with the Battleground Parks, you think, or?
Well, there is no Battleground Parks District, I don't think.
Park department.
There's a department, but not a district.
Right.
So they want to do a district in order to bond for YWCA or YMCA.
So they want a levy, essentially.
Yeah. Anyway, it got me thinking, though, because here you've got Battleground wanting a Metro Park District, Camas wants a Metro Park District, Washougal wants a Metro Park District. We've got a lot of entities out there searching for additional taxing revenue. At some point, there may be a role for us to support or advise or otherwise lend our voices to, and I throw that out as a thought, not a suggestion at this point.
And John, as someone is looking to do that in that area, maybe you can even ask them if they've looked at partnering with the school out there. They have a significant amount of difficulty passing their bonds.
Yeah, and that
and
was
if there is a support for a parks component in the school, and they don't have, you know, a pool, they don't have any of these other components out there for their high schools to be able to swim in, there could be joint synergy around that package in a bond package for the schools that is additionally supported in some way. So I just, if you talk again to her, maybe just, I don't know if even, I have no idea if they're interested in that, but it seems like hooking their wagon onto something that the community wants to additionally support might help both entities.
Yeah, actually that was the first thing when they started talking bonds is I turned to them and said, and you've spoken with the school to make sure you're not doing it at the same time, right?
Yeah, or just together, it might make sense.
A good thing is to go through the school as opposed to an MPD. That's not a bad thought.
I think so. I think it might have more traction coming from the school district, more so than trying to do a park district. Remember the issues they're having out there with parks, you know, especially with their council and everything.
Yeah, so. that was part of the discussion as well. It's a really good thought, is the school could fund that. And, anyway, so interesting discussions going around the community. There's All for Y over there. Woodland up north is doing it. East County, we're talking about it as well, trying to figure out how to make something like that happen.
Back in the day, when we had the original Blue Ribbon Commission, you know, one of the ideas was to try to float a metropolitan park bond that covered the county, essentially all the cities, you know. And of course, that didn't get enough traction to move forward. But I think since then, like I said, Camas is trying to get their own metropolitan park district formed, and so that Vancouver tried, and that didn't work out too well for the voters. But
is that what Tualatin Valley has? The county, is it Tualatin?
Tualatin Valley Parks Act
has like a bit, like they're separate.
Their commissioners are voted on by the public.
They have good parks.
That is why.
Okay, Kevin,
I'll pass. I'm good this time. I'll pass. Now that the annexation is finalized, I was hoping you could give us an update on Kelly Meadows.
Kelly Meadows.
Where that negotiation ended up.
So Kelly Meadows, that's the one site that we're going to give up. It's still an undeveloped state, obviously. Along with Kelly Meadows, we're giving them a one-time transfer of our BIF 7 funds, so you can see how much we're going to give them. So the balance, we told them we'd give them the balance as of July 31st. What that balance is what we will give them towards the development of Kelly Meadows. And so that is it. They are prepared to fund the rest of it and move that forward with BIF 7. Obviously, the timeline can be no longer than, I'm going to say, 8 years, because that money will be in concurrency in 8 years, so they have to use it before then. But I think that they're hoping to get that Kelly Meadows pushed forward much sooner than that.
And any future monies in the BIF 7 they will get?
Nope. No. It's just a one-time transfer.
One-time deal.
That is it. Okay. Yep. And so that is essentially it. We hang on to Curtin Springs right now, that's really it as far as the annexation is concerned. So we will pay them to maintain Kelly Meadows forevermore. So in its undeveloped state, which is about $2,400 a year, using MPD funds, because we still collect, even though it's in the annexed area, we collect from that area MPD funds. And so once it gets developed, we will continue to pay them for the annual maintenance thereafter. So
the $2,500 or more?
That'll be more like about $25,000. So we're basing that off of our performance measures, what it costs us to maintain per acre one of our MPD parks. And so that's exactly what we're paying them. So they can bill us 110% of what it costs us to maintain those sites based on our numbers. So no golden pathways, that kind of thing. So.
Well, can that community or that area petition to be out of the MPD now that they're a city, and then exclude themselves tax-wise from that or not?
I'm not sure. I don't know if that's even possible.
I don't know either.
Might be.
Just curious.
The levy obviously could be ended at some point in the future, but as far as segregating parts of it, I don't know.
No, because Sue's asked that question multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll have to see if I can find the answer to that. It's a good question.
Over there, near the Costco line.
So it's just interesting. It's tough.
Of course, the with that annexation, that piece of 7 that we used to collect MPD funds on, they're collecting it on their side.
Yeah.
We will have a smaller TIF 7 district.
Anything else?
Kelly?
No, just thank you for your time. And thank you for that special meeting and all the effort you guys put into being here and advocating for parks. So wonderful group and a lot of great ideas. And I'm hoping I can pop in there on September 16th and be there for a few hours myself. So
yeah.
Especially if there's free food involved. So.
off the board then.
Let Kelly see if Kelly had it.
Oh.
Kelly, you got any comments or last thoughts?
Yes.
Thank you, Barbara.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Were we collecting anything for a gift for Laura?
Did we even know that there was a wedding for Laura? I'm offended.
Our staff got together and gave her a gift certificate and a card. So, but if we want to pass a card around, we could do that.
Staff want to
throw a bill in.
Is she registered anywhere or?
No. No. Oh. No. It's just, they're getting,
I'm just,
it's pretty low key, she said.
It sounds like she's
new, but she's done a lot for us already and is someone I think I wouldn't mind.
That's my bad. I probably should have circulated a card around like, you know, a month ago when I found out. And, that, you know, I'm a guy, so.
That's no excuse.
That's a good excuse.
It is a good excuse.
It is a good excuse.
Yeah, all right. Grandson tries to use that.
I think we're done then. Thank you, and we're about 2 minutes late, so great.
Thank you, everyone.
Cool, thanks.
All right, good meeting.
Thanks, Kelly.
So thank you, Kelly.
See ya.
Instead of the training group, can I have a marketing and partnership meeting today? Swap for this time.
Yes, hey, girlfriend.
Is that fine?
Yeah, I need to get going. My daughter is actually
fine?
Getting married on the 26th.
Oh,
and
sure.
I have in Walla Walla, and I haven't finished her dress or mine, so I'm a little bit panicked. So I would like to get home and get started on that. Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay.
And underline it so it's clear to me. Because there's just a lot of information
here,
Barbara. It's great information.
Yeah.
But if I was 17 years old, I'd be like, Mom.
And I agree. I want lower points, but we started there and it really is. Okay, so.
Yeah, it worked out for you.
Yeah, yeah. But I want to get the right place on here.
Right there.
I think I'm driving your team crazy. Things are driving your team crazy.
Here we go.
Great. We knew water was going to be an issue. Yeah.
Well, no, I want it.
Water's not an issue.
I want it to be clear.
Now with the elevation and the fall.
Yeah, and the slope and then this.